experiencing a total solar eclipse is mind-blowing. I've seen two. Science journalist David Barron has seen more than that. He has a new book out called American Eclipse. It's about one eclipse in particular, 1878, when America was just beginning to show what it could do in science. David says he became an eclipse lover, the word is umbraphile, after seeing his first total eclipse of the sun in 1998.
So here I was on the beach in Aruba, middle of the afternoon, and the partial eclipse is going on. The moon's moving in front of the sun. But then, just as we're approaching what's called the moment of totality, when the moon completely blocks the sun, suddenly everything is transformed. Day becomes twilight. The blue sky is stripped away. And at that point, and only that point, it is safe to look at the sun with the naked eye. So we had, my husband and I had been wearing these eclipse glasses. We took them off. I look at the sky, and it's transcendent. It's a sky I'd never seen.
We were talking just a few minutes before we came into the studio. I've seen two eclipses, and I was saying, it's the closest I think you can come to space travel.
Absolutely.
The sun sets at 360 degrees all around you.
So all around you, it's orange on the horizon, but overhead, it's twilight. And effectively, you are looking to the middle of the solar system. It really is like space travel. It's like you've been transported to another planet, and you're looking back at the solar system. So you can see the sun, although it doesn't look like any sun you've ever seen, and you can see the planets together. And so for me, it was as if I was looking at a diagram from a high school textbook, like, oh, there's the sun,
right,
and I can see the planets, and oh, yeah, the planets, they go around the sun. I felt so viscerally connected to the universe and just how immense it is. I got hooked.
So it is mind-blowing.
Yeah.
You've seen four eclipses since then. You'll see number five this summer.
Correct.
What drew you specifically to this eclipse in 1878 that you couldn't possibly have witnessed?
Right, absolutely. So back in the mid to late 1800s, total solar eclipses were not just natural spectacles to wonder at. They were really important to science because astronomers had reached a point in their research on the sun where they could start to ask questions and answer them about what is the sun? What is this enormous ball of fire in the sky? What is it made of? What fuels it? And the studies that they could do, they could only do during a total solar eclipse, which happens on average, once every 18 months, somewhere on the planet, often someplace very hard to get to, and it lasts for 2 or 3 minutes. So these astronomers would put together these vast expeditions, head off to the far corners of the Earth, wait in the path of the moon's shadow, hope that clouds didn't show up, and then frantically conduct their studies. 1878, the path of the eclipse crossed the American Wild West at a time when our country was really not respected in science. And American scientists wanted to show what we could do. So here was a total eclipse in our backyard. We were going to show Europe that we could do astronomy as well as they could.
So very conveniently, the path of totality, the shadow line carved out across the Earth by the movement of the moon in front of the sun, went right across the Transcontinental Railroad. So that must have enabled a lot of people, scientists, curiosity seekers, anybody, go watch it. What kind of publicity surrounded this eclipse at the time?
It was very similar to the way eclipses are treated today. The newspapers gave it front page coverage, showing where the eclipse would pass, giving advice on how to view it safely. Although back then they didn't have really safe eclipse viewers. They would advise people to use stained glass or smoked glass to look at the sun. And
right.
I would advise people not to do that. It's really not safe. But there was a lot of attention. There were eclipse tours that went out to the West to see it. People were very excited about it. And as I say, because of what was happening in America in terms of its intellectual development, it was this interesting melding of science and patriotism. The American public wanted the American scientists to succeed and for us to show Europe what we could do.
Well, one of the actors who was right in the lead on that was none other than Thomas Alva Edison. What was he trying to do with the eclipse?
So Thomas Edison, this is what really hooked me on the story, that Thomas Edison, age 31, right after he invented the phonograph and immediately before he invented the incandescent lamp, he went to Wyoming to see a total eclipse. And it's a part of his life story that doesn't get much attention because people pay more attention to the phonograph and the light bulb.
Right.
But it's this amazing little piece of Edison's life at a time when he was trying to show that he was not just an inventor, but he wanted to be a real scientist. And he befriended these academic scientists and he befriended astronomers. And he invented a device called the tizimeter, which was an incredibly sensitive heat detector, basically an electric thermometer that he was going to use during the eclipse to study the solar corona, what we know today as the sun's outer atmosphere.
What was learned from this eclipse in 1878?
Well, it's interesting. You know, from a scientific standpoint, right afterwards, it was hailed as a great success because Thomas Edison's tizimeter found heat in the solar corona, and the tizimeter was going to be this next great invention. Really, the biggest news that came out of the eclipse of 1878 was that a U.S. astronomer named James Craig Watson found a planet called Vulcan, which was believed to exist between Mercury and the sun. It probably won't surprise you. Watson was wrong, and we know today that the tizimeter amounted to nothing. So in some ways, from a scientific standpoint, the eclipse of 1878 really didn't amount to anything. But from a societal standpoint, it was huge because it was an early event that really helped America coalesce around science, that we decided, this democratic nation, we decided science is important. It's something our government should fund. And it was not the only by any means, but it was an important early event that turned America into the global leader in science.
So this summer, another American eclipse on August 21st, cutting right through the U.S., northwest to southeast, middle of the day. The arc of it not too dissimilar either from the 1878 eclipse in your book. The High Plains also of Wyoming, once again, a great place to watch it. But a remarkable contrast with that belief in the late 1800s that science was the path to a better future. And now it's being debated in 2017 by the highest office in the land. What occurs to you?
Back in 1878, the eclipse helped inspire America's rise as a global scientific power. I think that this eclipse could have a similar effect, that is, to remind us of the importance and the wonder of science. And even though there are probably a lot of people hearing us right now who hadn't heard or hadn't heard very much about this, I promise you, come August, everyone will know about the total eclipse. Not only will this be the most witnessed total eclipse in U.S. history, no doubt, some people suggest it could be the biggest one-day mass migration in world history because more than a third of the U.S. population, over 120 million people, live within an easy day's drive of the path of the moon's shadow. And as people wake up to what's about to happen, a lot of folks on August 21st are going to get up really early and drive into this path to witness this amazing event.
David Barron's new book, American Eclipse, was published this week. David, thanks so much.
Thank you, Marco.